Hello, patrons. If you are watching this at any time other than immediately after watching episode 5, you're probably here at the wrong time. But if you just watched episode 5 of Nebula Jazz, welcome. It's going to be great. So every episode that we play, I think, is this going to be the episode where JP messages me on Skype and is like, dude, chill.
Enough.
Just rein it in.
Nope.
Not today.
Not today.
One more episode.
Continues.
Yeah, that's right. One more episode in the bag. We're still going. So one thing I want to ask about, one thing that I'm not struggling with, but I'm like hyper aware of in this particular episode and the show at large is spotlighting, making sure that everybody gets a chance to kind of be the focus of at least like a similar amount of time on screen, because I think if we're not careful, we can all kind of get like sucked into one thing and be like, oh no, this is just gonna be lizard stuff for the whole episode. Right. How are y'all feeling about that? About that like balance? Because it's something I think that we more than most games we all kind of have to like work at. Mm-hmm. How's that feeling for everybody? You feel like you're getting the screen time that you so richly deserve?
I mean, I got plenty today. Let me tell you what.
I feel like the people. This is not first rodeo, and so we all know that if there's a lot of screen time on one person, the next week there's going to be screen time on someone else.
Yeah.
It's just, so, like, I'm not too worried about it. I'm excited that Pocket is going to get a bit more screen time,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like if we know more about her character and where she's from, then it's going to help us pull her into scenarios more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is cool.
I feel like my character is like
a mystery.
Most difficult, yeah. It's the most difficult to understand out of all of them. I think everyone.
Like you look at Eugene, you know what Eugene is. He's a disgusting slime coward. But when we look at you, we just see like a blank slate girl, and we don't really know what's going on.
I mean, even in just the last like 15 minutes of the episode, we learned a ton of new stuff about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so excited for next week.
It's gonna be awesome.
The pacing of the show is just like breakneck, though. Hey, like the normally
it's only episode 5. We've done so much.
yeah. And I think that's really cool. It's cool seeing that happen. It's keeping me on my toes because on the one hand, I prep next to nothing for the show because I have an idea of the universe. But most of the good stuff, like the Blixnort stuff, comes up as a result of roles and the kind of alchemy of play. So on the one hand, I don't prep anything, but even if I did, we'd blow through it so fast that I feel like I can't come to the show prepared at all, which makes it one of the more kind of frightening experiences. Every time we do an episode of Nebula Jazz, I'm like, oh God, comedy is hard. Like being funny is really fucking hard. What are we going to do? You know, doing like a more serious, like intense show or a show that's more focused on the mechanics like Court of Swords, I find to be easier to GM. In that being serious isn't that hard, and then funny stuff is kind of like by accident or rare, whereas this show it's like, cool, we're just gonna spend 4 hours just making jokes, let's see how it goes.
Yeah,
and combat alone in those other role plays like any like D&D and Balance of Power like lasted sometimes multiple episodes.
Yeah, so. That's true, that's very true.
I feel like what
specifically
I feel like one of the reasons why this show goes faster is because we're given a vehicle through the mechanics. We're given a way to like just make something happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know? We're not like raging against the machine for an hour. We're able to just be like, I need this to happen. And if I'm able to make it happen, it's going to be right now. You know, so
we all can make if it like Jesse trying to hold down the two lizardmen. No one really wanted to interrupt. So we just gave him like boosts. So we helped him make it happen even more.
Yeah,
it also helps that like in a normal D&D game, Adam, it would be your job to tell everyone when the scene ends. But in this particular game, as a group, we can decide when that scene ends and just move on.
Yeah.
So that like constantly keeps you on your toes because you're like, right, well. There's still 40 minutes left of today's episode, so now we have to just create a new planet. We're gonna create a universe so fast.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's already so many neat little things and like threads that head out that we could explore. I was thinking about this in the last or second to last break, that this universe that we're building, it feels like this is just like Nebula Jazz is maybe the thing that started it, but I could see like much more serious storylines. Like there are these little hints of like more serious or intense stuff that would be like an alternate, like, cool, here's a comic book set in the universe over here, and it's like the serious story of like the struggle of the lizard man or whatever. Like
how Quinn became disgraced before it becomes like the comedy like outlaw group. Yeah, like that would be like some heavy shit.
Yeah.
Into like you easily could get into the war period of Alaxachon and the Agarans and all that. Like that's a very dark world that you could get into. So
yeah, well, and I think the thing is to make the funny stuff work, there has to be like sort of straight tone to like bounce it off of. So I think it's cool that in every episode, folks are taking, like you guys specifically, are taking turns being the straight man and who's the funny one, right? Like there are bits where we're like, ha, Quinn's a big funny lizard and getting drunk and doing the lizard thing. And then the next episode, it's like, oh no, this is like serious Quinn time. And Everybody kind of gets that opportunity to be like the jokey character, which is super cool. I'm just always really excited to explore this stuff because it's not me making up an encyclopedia of boring stuff to tell you. When we get to a planet, I can be like, here's what I'm thinking about it. What you got? What other things do you have? Something that we should do between sessions, Pocket, is come up with a few aspects for Alaxatron generally. Okay. So that way y'all can invoke them if you need to.
That'd be cool.
Scene.
Also, I noticed that Pocket's only got like one stunt.
Yeah, I only have one stunt right now.
I don't know if that's like deliberate though, because you're like waiting for...
Well, I was waiting for something, but now that I'm on like my home planet, I think it'd be good to make another one that might go in tandem with being on my home planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I could do while there. So...
Yeah. Well, and I think you can start to think about, like, because we just established something about your character brand new out of nothing by saying like you have some kind of like hidden Manchurian candidate shit going on. So that could be a thing. You could write a stunt around. Maybe there's alternate auroras buried within you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be dope.
Combat badass.
Quinn's gone from jaw dependent to 24 hours jaw free.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way. Thank you for letting me make you the fucking Paul Muad'Dib of the lizard man.
Dude, fucking lizard man prophecy now.
So the most common question that I get about GMing, like ever at all, is how much of this did you prepare and how much of this is like, you know, just made up on the spot? And usually it's more made up on the spot than people think. This, it's 100%. So like that moment, I was just like, cool, I'm just gonna say a thing and I bet you Jesse's gonna go with it. And
yeah.
It's pretty reliable with this cast particularly that I can just be like, cool, I don't know, let's just take a sharp left turn here, see where we end up. So that should be fun. And I think it's cool that y'all noticed, like Sam, you were talking about changing aspects. Like that's a thing, right? We're at the end of, and these arcs go by so fast. This is technically like leaving the planet as a milestone. So if y'all want, let me take a look at the milestones real quick. You can make some changes to your character before the next session.
Cool.
Yeah, and it'll allow you, I think this is a moderate one. Let me take a quick look. Because the first like real big milestone will be like the end of this arc. It'll be dealing with the scepter and the death of the prince and all that stuff. Here we go. So there are three. There's minor, significant, and major. So let's call this one a significant milestone. The conclusion of a big plot event, the end of two or three sessions. Yeah, perfect. Okay. So in this milestone, if you have a severe consequence, oh, this is cool. If you have a severe consequence that's been around at least two sessions, you can clear it. Choose one of your approaches, bump it up by one.
So
one of your stats just goes up.
Okay.
You can become more forceful or more flashy or whatever. And then in addition to that, you get the benefits of a minor milestone. So you can switch any two approaches. You can rename an aspect as long as it's not your high concept. You can exchange a stunt for another one, and you can choose a new stunt. So, or you can choose a new stunt, I guess. So Jesse, what I was thinking is, if you embrace it, if the game goes this way, at the end of the campaign, or the first like big arc, the major milestone, mm-hmm. you're allowed to rename your high concept. So that would be when you're no longer the disgraced guardian and instead become, you know, the Blixnort Liebelacta.
as you do. Yeah.
If that's the direction that you go. Yeah. And right. then that would be a big change to your character.
It's literally the plot of Horizon Zero Dawn. You literally go from exiled to chosen one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the
all
plot.
All it takes of, is a pit fight with a bunch of lizard men. You got it figured out.
Let's talk about subtext in the game for a second, because boy, is there a lot of subtext. I love the like weird masculinity analysis thing that we're doing with the lizard men. Like, it's so on the nose and amazing, like literal jars of emotion, and like not allowed to feel things, you have to jam it away in a jar.
God, that's for you, internet. That's for you.
And the emotional man is the chosen one.
That's right, the man who can
the
feel
one who will unite aww. The peoples.
That's for you guys. Think about it, internet.
The lessons here on Nebula Jazz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be like Quinn. Be a hero to your people. Feel your feelings. Yeah.
Feel your feelings. Don't bottle them pretty, up.
Pretty
great. It's okay.
I just really want Nina to take over for her husband as a mob boss. That's like my perfect version of future Nina.
She's with her, after you.
I know.
Her boy toy, F. Jean.
Eugene, yeah.
Yeah, I like where that's going. I like that you're leaving this trail of interesting characters behind you, because I'm making notes. I'm writing them all down.
And your favorite thing is to like bring a character back from ages past and just go, what?
I've seen the last of Captain Slipknot. I'm telling you what.
He's our Slipknot. He'll be back.
They're assembling a super team of villains to come and get you.
Yeah.
Everyone was wronged by you.
You mean we're not the villains?
I mean, villainy is it's perspective, I think. I'm pretty into it. So I finally got to pull out a scene. I was waiting. I've been waiting two episodes for this. I needed an opportunity where Rex was asleep to pull the homoerotic hot tub dream on you.
Right.
And it worked. I perfectly timed out. I'm so glad I got to do that.
This brings up some questions, though. Like, is everyone that he eats, can they talk to him, or is it just the prince?
I think it's probably just the prince, because the prince is like magical.
I want it to be every person he's ever eaten. It haunts him. That's his. He only dreams nightmares. They're horrible.
So this is where the TV show begins to posit those questions. This is where the subreddit would be like, wait, is it this way or that? How does it work? What happens when a slayer dies? And then now there's two slayers. This is the bit where it is a question. We'll leave that open. But yeah, I think there's room for both, because we know that the Mingasi, they're as a people, they are somehow like special or magical or whatever. They're like, you know, literally made of gold and 8 feet tall. So there's that. So it could be that, but it could also, yeah, it could be a metaphor for the hunger kind of wearing away at Rex. So it's a thing that compels and evokes, and the game itself will come to tell us over time.
What did you
eat the prince? Which would be even better, because I was wondering about that, about like eating the prince right away, and then had you gone further into, like, if you had gone with Thuja into kind of that situation, you know, what would have happened there? I think that every role-playing game, you get to a point, and this one, because the pacing is so fast, it's starting to happen early, where you wonder, like, what would the campaign look like if X, Y, or Z thing or role had happened differently, right?
Right.
And I'm already, my brain is spinning.
There's a lot of what ifs already, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Cool. So your goal, because I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of future stuff. So your goal here, tell me what your plan is. So you want to get your ship back because the Alaxatronians have it. And then what, right? You've got this Scepter of Ascension. What are you going to do with it?
To be fair, I think that... I think that Aurora's goal is now to find out what happened to Saber. Even if, like, now she'll start to realize her human curiosity coming through instead of the robot dominating what she's thinking, because she wants to know what happened. This was the person that she did have a very human connection to, even if she denied it. So that's her goal. And then the ship and the saber and or the lance or whatever. Scepter.
So. Okay. And Eugene, you still wanna get rid of the scepter, you wanna sell it?
I mean, now we know more than ever. This is a hot commodity, right? Somebody's gonna be willing to pay a lot of money for this thing, right?
It is very true. Yeah.
I still don't get why the Lizardmen brought all their stuff and dragged it through the fake city.
We're getting rid of that ship and getting a new one. It doesn't make any sense to leave the stuff on the ship.
You know, I have.
Also, you don't realize this, but that robo bitch is hella sketch. The rest of us are very sketchy.
I don't know if you're aware.
That is true.
I think Rora realized that. She
metagaming here, but
Teddy Ruxpin's out to get you. You cannot trust that fluffy bastard. Yeah. Your best friend's with an evil Furby.
We're looking at Pocket's character discovering herself, and then we're looking at Quinn's character having a redemption moment. And
We need to, now that we're on this planet, we can't destroy everything yet, because this is the place where we can scan the cigarette. I've kept it in my pants for so long. I need answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of one every single episode, and I'm like, what are we gonna do with that? We have to keep it. Like, we've kept it for so long now. We have to keep it.
Yeah. Gotta have a payoff at some
point.
And
we've bartered with Mayhem to get us information on who put out the hit in exchange for the scepter. Mm-hmm. So, you know. I think we're looking at a bit of tasty revenge. Ultimately.
And there's a lot of you. This is the thing about the narrative. This is the purpose of this kind of thing. The scrappy losers who get in over their head and they have leverage that they should never be allowed to have, in that you have something that a lot of different big factions in the universe want, and now you have to decide what to do with it. And that's the crux of the whole thing, right? Like, some people are going to try to make friends with you. Some people are going to try to steal it. Some people are going to try to, like, you know, put you at the center of their political struggles. And you'll
Sam's right,
around.
Though. Like, we also are in a position where, like, we could turn this into a full-on revenge story, where it's like, you
we got
guys
framed for murder.
Framed us,
We're wanted.
Yep.
Hell no.
I don't know if Rex is happy with that. Rex is a daring outlaw.
Who framed us?
He doesn't like to be on posters.
I think that we can get a lot of answers on this planet, and if we do it.
I was gonna say, the trick with the Laxatron is, yes, you could get a lot of answers, but they're going to be engineered very specifically. So you got to kind of question.
Unless,
unless my boy Quinn here is gonna get jacking.
Well, I mean, unless we get Grandpa back. Grandpa has he needs to reprogram. We need to stop it.
Yo, you hacker jack that bitch up when she's in the kitchen. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah.
You have to break in first.
Obviously. Oh, that's right. I'm going to have to rip a wall off. Get inside.
Amazing. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad. This is the trick, I think, about chaotic kind of shows like this, and it's the reason why I asked, is that sometimes with games like this, it's hard to know what to do next. Like, if you're playing a more straightforward game like D&D, it's like, here's your quest. Go do the quest. But like with the rest of the show, I kind of was just like, all right, I'm going to put the power kind of in your hands, and y'all can figure out. I'm just going to play the universe trying to get you. You figure out how to get your ass out of it. So you'll never really be able to look to me to be like, what should we do next? Mm-hmm. But you can use the NPCs and the situations you've set up in the world to go. But there's all these different directions. And we haven't even seen, you know, the mighty Guk, the home world of the slimes. Wow. And we haven't seen, we don't know much about Rex's past, except that he's a woman. I'm waiting to see your robot girlfriend, because...
There's one on every planet, right?
But
I actually reached that point where, as soon as we started arriving at the robot homeworld, I was like, man, eventually they're going to want to know something about Rex. And so now I'm coming up with, you know, where's Rex from? Yeah. What do Rex's people do? What are they about? Because I want to have it ready.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. I think we're all building little plot lines for one ultimately bigger tree, which is cool.
Cool.
Well, the world of Nebula Jazz.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. And I think that'll be the thing that gives the show legs, right? Is those little storylines. We'll continue down the main path, but as we've seen so far, we'll get little glimpses into each character's kind of little personal universe as we go and as they change. So between now and the next session, make sure you add one to one of your approaches, and then if you want to switch any two approaches around, or rename an aspect if you want to change it. exchange a stunt for a different one, or choose a new one and adjust your refresh if you've already got three stunts. So make sure you do that. And I guess that's all the business for this week. This is a good one. This show's great. Thanks for playing with me, everybody.
Yeah.
We will be back next time with more show and more post show patrons. Thank you for your support. You make this possible, and we will see all of you next time. Hey, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Peter.